Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Beth. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am Beth O'Leary. I am an author from England. I have three novels published, The Flatshare, The Switch, and The Road Trip, coming very soon, so not quite three. I've always been a writer. Somewhere in our loft, I have a bunch of stories scribbled in like very childish pencil writing on the back of scrap paper that my mum used to endlessly find. Like, she'd be printing stuff out for work and then she'd find that I'd have scribbled a story on the back of it. So I've always been a writer, and this is kind of pretty much a dream job, really, getting to do this.
Oh my gosh, I love this. And so let's chat about your journey to writing and to reading. You mentioned a little bit you've been writing since you were a child, but in terms of reader, were you always a reader, or did that came later on? And how did you discover romance? Because you do write some happily ever afters.
Yes. And I think that's such a good question, because I think everybody has their kind of journey to romance, don't they? Maybe more so than other genres, I think, because there's sort of a bit of a, you know, you don't, it's not like you ever read romance at school or anything like that. There's no, you know, you so how you discover it is always quite interesting. But yes, I've always been a huge reader. I was really lucky to grow up in a house with lots of bookshelves, and had a love of reading and books from very young age. And I studied English at university, which meant I did an awful lot of reading of sort of the kind of books you're meant to read, you know, like the classics and everything. And it was only really after uni that I kind of let myself really read just for pure pleasure. And my housemate had, she was a big Sophie Kinsella fan. I don't know if,
yeah.
And I'd never read any of her books or anything, but they were on our, you know, our bookshelf in our in our kitchen, and so I was like, oh, I'll give one a go. And I couldn't really believe that you were allowed to just read a book that was this fun, you know, like where you're just like, oh, there's like, this is just pure joyful escapism. From there, I mean, I just sort of moved into reading more and more kind of uplifting fiction and romance, and I do love a happily ever after, as you say. Like, I am such a, like, I am a real sucker for a happy ending myself, and I like to write the sorts of books that I would want to read. I mean, you know, I want my readers to kind of feel uplifted when they've finished reading one of my books, and that's the kind of feeling I look for when I'm picking up a novel.
I love this. Yeah, I love, like, there's something to be said about, like, knowing the ending is going to be fine, like, the characters are going to be okay.
I totally agree. It's like a safety net, isn't it? Like, yeah. And it doesn't, I don't know, I know some, for some people, knowing that it's going to end happily, kind of, they think, oh, well, what's at stake, sort of thing. But for me, it's not like that at all. Like, I go into a book like that, like, okay, so it's all about the how, like, it's how we're going to get there. I don't need to worry about whether everyone's going to be okay, because they're all going to be okay. And sometimes you need that, don't you? You just need a happy book.
Mm-hmm. Yes, happy books are a good thing. I think we just need to, there's so much trauma out there, like, it's nice to see some joy, and nice to see in your book site, it's nice to see the characters overcome that trauma, and like to see it in a place where, like, falling in love or finding friendships or finding a place in the world that feels good for that. So it's all about the joy.
Yes, I totally agree.
Awesome. So I've been asking this question because I'm kind of curious, but also it's interesting to talk about, like, what sparks joy for you? Like, what's something that you do for fun? It feels like flow. It doesn't feel like time is flying by. It can be writing, it can be reading. It could be something completely out of this world that, you know, you don't earn money from it, but you just do it because it feels like fun.
I love this question. For me, it's baking. Baking is my joyful place. And actually, it's kind of weird because writing was my main hobby. Like, that's what I did. And I, you know, when I was working full time, I would try and squeeze writing in wherever I could. And, you know, I used to write on my commute to and from work, and then that became my job. So it was kind of a strange transition, because obviously that is an amazing, I mean, I feel so lucky to have that and to be able to do the thing I love for a living. Like, it's a total dream and such a privilege. But it's also quite weird. At first you're like, oh, so they're like, it's a weird transition. You're kind of like, oh, so now this is what I call work. And actually it took me a while to realize that once you've turned it into your job, you need to like take breaks from it and stuff, like in a way that you don't when it's your hobby. So like, I at the beginning didn't ever take weekends or take holidays. I was like, why would I? Like, I'm just writing all the time. Like, this is great. And then I was like, oh no, this is actually how to get really exhausted. Like, you still need to take breaks and stuff. But yes, baking is now has replaced writing. Now that writing's my job, baking has come in as my is my joyful hobby. Especially in all the lockdowns that we've had over here in the last year. It's been kind of something I can do at home on my own, but that really feels sort of satisfying. And it's often like a way to connect with friends and family. Like, I have a lot of foodie friends and family, so we'll sometimes like follow a recipe together or whatever. So yeah, baking has been my happy place.
So what is your signature baking dish? Like, do you bake bread, cookies, cakes?
Sweet things, 100%. And my best bake, I do a sticky toffee pudding, which is like, I mean, I've been making it for years. And you know, when you've like really perfected a recipe and you've got it down, like every time you tweak just a little bit and just a little bit, that's probably my proudest bake.
I love this. So what has been the process of writing during the pandemic? Has it been easier, harder? Has it been different?
It's definitely been different, and I think it's strange when you work from home anyway. It sort of feels like, oh, it shouldn't be that different for me. Like, I'm already kind of working from home, but it is really different. It's just not having the kind of option of going out and seeing people, and I know a lot of you know, writers have found it difficult to be creative in this time, and that has been a bit of a struggle. But you know, I'm so lucky to have, you know, a safe job where I'm able to stay at home, and I do feel really grateful for that. But yeah, it's, I found the dog has been an absolute godsend in this time. Like, my dog Molly, she's a little golden retriever, very badly behaved. And she gets me out of the house every day. Like, she just, I think if I didn't have a dog, it would be really hard to motivate myself to go for a walk every day, you know, whatever the weather in the winter. But it's so good for my creativity to go outside, I find. Like, I often, if I'm stuck on something, the temptation is to sit at my desk and keep like staring at it and typing stuff as if that'll make, you know, the plot hole disappear. And so often once I've walked the dog, like through the woods in the rain, it'll just feel easy. Like, the solution will just slide in. And so, yes, I felt very grateful for my dog sitting there next to me, like, it's time to take me out.
Oh my gosh, yes. I feel like our dogs like are gonna find, you know, after the pandemic is over and we're starting to emerge outside, you're gonna be like, where are you? We need to hang out all day long. No,
I know. I feel like she's so used to total undivided attention. Like, sometimes now, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I talk to my dog when it's just the two of us at home. And she's great company. And I don't know what she's like. She's not really had much practice of being left on her own for a while. So she's going to have to get used to that.
Yes, but you know, we can emerge slowly, so it doesn't have to be like a full total, like, we're gonna go out, you know. It could just be like a slow emerging for like, you know, an hour here, an hour there.
Yeah,
you know? so let's see, so let's talk about the road trip. What is the elevator pitch for the road trip?
So the road trip, it begins with two exes crashing cars on their way to a mutual friend's wedding. And only one of the cars is still functioning after the crash. So Addie and Dylan, the two exes, and all their passengers end up piling into one vehicle for the long and very awkward journey from the bottom of England to rural Scotland.
A small car.
Very small car.
Yes, it was like a laugh. I was like, oh my gosh, you're like stuck for in the small car and the hijinks ensues. Like, whatever wrong would happen in a road trip, it happened in this road trip.
Yeah, and like I couldn't resist, you know, like packing the most people that you could fit in the car in there. And it was a lot of fun once I kind of had the idea of the two people crashing cars being exes. Mm-hmm. I immediately was like, well, who else is in the car with them? Because I think often when you break up with someone, like your friends or your family are like your fiercest kind of, they hate them the most, right? like no one hates your ex-boyfriend like your best friend. Mm-hmm. And so it was, there was so much opportunity for sort of who else has played a role in their relationship, because, you know, those extra people can could be in the car as well. And then I also decided I wanted one wild card. So there's this one character called Rodney who just posted on the Facebook group saying he needed a ride, and Deb and Addie kind of took pity on him, and so he ends up on this like unbelievably awkward road trip with all these people that have so much history together, but he's the only person that doesn't know anyone. And he was really useful when I was writing, because he was there to kind of partly, it's such an intense setup that I needed, you know, for the comedy as well as and the lightness, I needed somebody sometimes to just diffuse things or just pop the bubble, you know. And, you know, Rodney was very handy for that. I could usually rely on Rodney to say something like funny or do something slightly ridiculous and get us all kind of relaxing again after a tense conversation in the car.
Yeah, I have to admit, Ronnie's backstory made me laugh out loud. Like, there's a twist in the book that you should read it. It's just like hilarious. I was like, oh my god, it flavor to the character, because he was just like a good comedic relief. He was like tension and just going through, and then you're like, oh my god, like seriously.
Yeah, do you know what, that came to me quite late as well. I remember the moment when I thought of it, and I was sat on a train and I was like, oh, I've realized something good. Sometimes plot ideas just come to you like that, and it feels like they were always meant to be. Like, it's a lovely feeling.
It was such a fun stuff. So how did you develop the characters? Because Addie and Dylan have, you know, a huge background, they're similar, they're different, they're come together really quickly, and then they have this relationship, and they have all these characters who are part of it, who are bring flavor to it, and they're so different from Addie and Dylan, but they still bring the story together and they still bring the relationship together.
For me, characters, I've still not really found a quick way to get to know them apart from just writing them. Mm-hmm. And I'll have sort of little fragments. They kind of come to me a bit like I'm gonna mix my metaphors now, but like sort of, you know, like a jigsaw puzzle or something, where you feel like I might have sort of some bits formed, but gradually as I'm writing I'll realize, actually, yes, like, you know, Addie's sort of always, up until this summer, she's always kind of been the one that gets left behind and isn't, everyone forgets about, and this is her summer where she really comes into herself, and that piece is like a really big chunk of her. And but I couldn't figure that out until I'd thrown her in and just written her, and you know, I knew some things but really nowhere near enough to make her a three-dimensional person. And it's sort of only by the end of a first draft that I'm like, I know these people now, and I know them so well that they couldn't be any other way. There's like a moment with characters where they kind of shift from being people who I can shape, you know, however I want and however suits the plot, to being people who I feel like, oh, well, obviously she would do that. You know, like I couldn't just say, oh, you know, I immediately know like what they would, how they would feel about giving up cheese, I like immediately would be able to say like, oh, well, you know, Dylan would like probably struggle with it because he loves like cheese and crackers, but like Addie could totally do it. Like, she, you know, you just like, that's a silly example, but they become like real, like old friends at a certain point. And then the second draft is going back to the beginning where I've written them kind of not quite right. And among other things, kind of fleshing them out and making sure that they reflect the people that I've come to discover through writing the first draft, really.
I love this. And so this book has a dual timeline. It has before and after. So did you write them along like congruently, or did you write one timeline first and then the other timeline and then mesh it up?
This is a great question and a thing that I thought about so much whilst writing this book. So yeah, it's told from the perspective of Addie and Dylan, but also told in, so their perspectives across two time streams. So you essentially have two Addies and two Dylans, really. Mm-hmm. And it was part of what I loved about the idea, because I really wanted to show, you know, it's essentially kind of two love stories about one couple, right? It's, mm-hmm. it's their romance, and it's where you kind of, you know, that they're going to break up, and then the romance on the road trip where you kind of hope that they're maybe going to make it work. And those two are told intertwined, and I wanted us to kind of be piecing together things from the now that made sense in the then, and vice versa. But I had also made the decision to write it so it always went Addie Dylan, Addie Dylan, no matter what time we're in, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So made it so much harder. So, because I never wanted to have an Addie then chapter following an Addie now chapter. I always wanted it to go Addie then, and then, you know, Dylan now, or so I couldn't write them. I couldn't write the whole story in chronological order. I couldn't sort of write from then to now and then chop it up and piece it together. And then, you know, there were other reasons I didn't want to do that as well. Like, I like, you kind of need to know for the reader, like how they're going to read it. And I think if I'd written it in one long line and then chopped it up and pieced it on top of each other, I might not have got the pace right, because you might be switching from a very, you know, serious scene to another very serious scene, and you'd be like, oh, I kind of need something a bit lighter. So in order to get that right, I also sort of needed to chop and change. But it was a challenge, because I wanted to show how much the characters had grown. And that meant that even though, you know, Addie now is the same person as Addie then, she is in some ways different, and that needed to be reflected in her voice, in her chapters. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of like making them sound enough like themselves that, you know, oh yeah, this is 100% her, but different enough that you feel that sense that they've changed and grown as people.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Why did I do it? Why? I asked myself many times.
I vowed to you, because it worked. Like, it was one of those, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Second Chance Romance, so it's very hard for me to like love it. And this one, I loved it, because it was like, I got to see the breakup and I got to see the reasoning why. And then now, like, how they come together and like all the different supporting characters and the growth, because there's a lot of growth that happens. There's a lot of like things that were left unsaid and the then that explained the now. Mm. And it just like, it brought it in together, you know, like it would be a great movie to watch, you know.
Oh, thank you. So. I agree with you on Second Chance Romances. They're not always, it's interesting that I reached for it as an idea, because they're not always my favorite either, because mm-hmm. I kind of feel like, oh, if it went wrong one time, then I don't want, you know, what if it's going to go wrong again? And that's why I thought really, really hard about the breakup. And mm-hmm. I really wanted to show a kind of a meaningful change that mm-hmm. that allowed you to really believe that actually this time, you know, they had a real shot.
Yeah, they had a real shot. I think it's just like, it worked, like the now, the explanation, the stuff that they did in between the breakup, like they made their time useful. Mm. Like they went to therapy, yeah. They got different jobs, they figured out like the different places, they work on their own stuff, they forgive mm-hmm. themselves and they forgive the other person. And so yeah. I think
yeah.
that growth was seen in the now, and it made sense for them to come back together. Mm. Yeah, like that helped the whole process.
Oh, I'm so glad you think it worked.
So what are you working next?
So yeah, my next project.
Yeah.
I am, well, so I am at the moment, I'm actually, so I'm oh, how many months pregnant? I'm 7 months pregnant.
Oh my God, congratulations.
Thank you. So I am, I'm beavering away very quickly, working on my next book, which I am really, really excited about. And I'm hoping, I can't share anything about it right now, but unfortunately, I'm sorry, I'd love to, because I'm itching to talk about it. But we're hoping to be able to, in the next sort of few weeks, share a bit about it. But yes, I have given myself a good hard deadline with this baby that is coming in the summer.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. That's amazing.
And, oh, thank you.
Oh, congratulations. So that's awesome. So let's see, what has been a book that you've read this past year, last year, or at some point that you can't stop thinking about, can't stop gushing about?
The book that I am raving about all the time at the moment, in fact, I was on the phone to a friend earlier telling her she had to read it, is Dial A for Aunties by Jessie Kustin. Yes. Oh my goodness. Sorry, you're nodding. Oh, everyone else can't see that you're nodding. Laura's nodding. it's so good. It's like, it's completely original. Like, it's sort of, so the concept is basically that our main character, Mehdi Chan, accidentally kills her blind date and then rings her mum and her aunties to come and help her, like, sort out the aftermath. And it's such an original idea. And then the way it's executed is just, it is a romantic comedy, but it's so darkly funny and sort of, it's like a blend of so many different genres, I think. And it made me laugh so much. You know, when you really laugh out loud at a book, you properly like get the giggles. I was like reading bits out to my husband on the sofa, like, oh my God, this bit's amazing. So yeah, I'm obsessed with that book at the moment.
I'm excited. I'm excited to listen to it because I heard it's going to be a great audiobook experience. And like in this world.
Maybe that can be my excuse for rereading. Like, yeah, I just have to hear the audio.
Yeah. I had a friend who shared with me, she's like, she was sharing how great it was. She's like, it's probably going to be a great audiobook. So I'm like on the library hold list. I'm like, I'm just going to listen to her and just like immerse myself in this world of like Weekend at Bernie's meets Crazy Rich Asians, you know.
Yeah.
Lots of aunties and jokes. So.
Yeah, so good. I think you'll love it.
This is awesome. So tell us where you can find you online.
So online I am, I'm on Instagram at Beth O'Leary Author. My website's www.betholeary.com, and you can find me on Facebook as well. I think with the same handle, so I will stop telling you Beth O'Leary Author over and over again.
I love this, Beth. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.